Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the parable of the giant cedar as we pick up in Ezekiel chapter 31, verse 1. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
So we turn now to Ezekiel chapter 31. In chapters 29 and 30 of Ezekiel, he was prophesying concerning the judgment of God that was to come against the nation of Egypt, who was like a reed. When Israel sought to lean upon it, it broke and only injured Israel. They were, of course, warned about leaning upon Egypt, but the warnings were not heeded, and thus Egypt became as a broken staff and did not really help Israel, except only temporarily when Pharaoh Hophri came against Babylon for a time and they stopped the siege against Jerusalem for a short period. Now, in chapter 31, he begins a prophecy against the Pharaoh himself. And in this prophecy against the Pharaoh, he turns to more or less a parable in which he likens the Egyptian leader to a great cedar tree in Lebanon. Now, Lebanon used to be famous for its huge cedar trees. And of course, you remember that the king of Tyre, Hiram, made a covenant with Solomon to provide the cedars, with David and with Solomon, to provide the cedars for the building of the temple in Jerusalem. And so, in a parabolic way, the Lord speaks of the Pharaoh as a giant cedar in Lebanon. Came to pass in the 11th year, the third month, this would be the 11th year of King Zedekiah, or 586 BC. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and to his multitude. Who art thou like in greatness? Egypt, of course, was a great, powerful empire in the ancient world. It was one of the world empires, or the world dominating or leading empires, and always a force to be reckoned with. Who are you like? And he likens them unto the Assyrians, who were also a great world power. It was the Assyrians who conquered over the northern kingdom of Israel. And so they are like unto Assyria. They are like a cedar in Lebanon, with fair branches and a shadowing shroud, of high stature, the top among the thick boughs. And the waters made him great, that would be the Nile River. The deep set him on the high with the rivers running round about his plants, and sent out her little rivers under the trees of the field, the tributaries and the delta area where the Nile spread out in the delta in that rich farmland. Therefore his height was exalted above the trees of the field, and his boughs were multiplied. His branches became long because of the multitude of waters when he shot forth. And all of the fowls of heaven made their nest in his boughs. And under his branches did all the beasts of the field bring forth their young, and under his shadow dwelt all great nations. So Egypt was one of the great nations and overshadowed the other nations. Notice the parable here, the birds lodged in the branches. This is also said by Daniel of Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian kingdom. But bringing it into the New Testament, we remember Jesus gave a kingdom parable. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a mustard seed, which is a small little seed, but it was planted and it grew into a tree. And the birds of the air came and lodged in it. Now, in a parabolic way, birds are always thought of in an evil sense. You remember that when the seed was planted and it fell by the wayside, the birds of the air plucked it up so that it wasn't able to take root. And they were likened unto the evil one who comes and plucks the word of God out of a person's heart so that it doesn't have any effect. So in that kingdom parable of the mustard seed that grew into a tree, first of all, that is abnormal. A mustard seed is not a tree seed, it is a bush. But there was this abnormal growth. It grew into a tree and all of the birds came and lodged in it. Is a parable really of the Gentile church that would become a haven for every kind of bird that exists. And so we look at the Gentile church today and see all the weird birds lodging in its branches. It's amazing the things that have been brought into the church, incorporated as a part of Christianity. And the people who have taken on the name or the title of Christian. But of course, it certainly reminds us of what Jesus said, not all who say, Lord, Lord, are going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus is referring to the fact that as the Gentile church grows, the abnormal type of growth, that it is not a healthy, solid growth, that it is become the haven for birds. Now here, the fowls of the heaven made their nest in the boughs. That is, these other nations conquered by, these other peoples conquered by Egypt. Thus was he fair in his greatness, in the length of his branches, for his root was by the great waters. And the cedars in the garden of God could not hide him, and the fir trees were not like his boughs. And the chestnut trees were not like his branches, nor any tree in the garden of God was like unto him in his beauty. I have made him fair by the multitude of his branches, so that all the trees of Eden that were in the garden of God envied him, the great cedar. A parable, of course, of Egypt, how it became such a great nation, the envy of other nations. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast lifted up thyself in height, and hath shot up his top among the thick boughs, his heart is lifted up in his height, and I have therefore delivered him into the hand of the mighty one of the heathen, and he shall surely deal with him. I have driven him out for his wickedness. So the Pharaoh judgment is pronounced upon him, and again, the reason for the judgment, notice carefully, is his pride. Because his heart was lifted up for his height, for his greatness. Pride cometh before destruction, a haughty spirit before the fall. It is extremely difficult for men to handle a position of power or authority. I think one of the hardest things in the world is to be in a position of ruling over other men, because there is always that danger of pride coming in and looking at your position and saying, look what I have done. You remember, and we'll get to it, you remember it trustfully from about 4 years ago when we were in Daniel, and we'll be getting there pretty soon again. When Nebuchadnezzar was looking over Babylon, no doubt walking through the Hanging Gardens, one of the wonders, seven wonders of the ancient world, and walking through this beautiful garden and this fabulous city that he had built, walls 300 feet high, 80 feet thick. And he said, is not this the great Babylon that I have built? And a voice came from heaven saying, hey, the watchers have been watching you. and your heart has been lifted up with pride. Nebuchadnezzar came to Daniel and said, you know, told him of this experience of hearing this voice saying that the watchers have been watching and saw his pride, and God was going to bring him into judgment. And Daniel says, hey, walk carefully. Be careful. And about a year later, again, Nebuchadnezzar was boasting in his greatness, the great Babylon that I have built. And the voice came from heaven and said, that's it, you've had it. And he had a period of insanity where for seven seasons he lived with the animals in the field. He ate grass like the oxen. His hair grew like feathers, and the dew of the heavens settled on him, and he lived like a wild man until he knew that the God in heaven is the one who sets upon the kingdoms those whom he will. The pride was the thing that brought Nebuchadnezzar to this place of being broken until seven seasons had passed over him. And then God restored, and he made that tremendous proclamation, declaring his belief and faith in the God of heaven who establishes upon the kingdoms those whom he would. Now, all the way along through history, from the beginning, pride is a destroyer. It has destroyed so many. Shakespeare has the statement in one of his plays, Cromwell, flee from pride, for by this sin did the angels fall. Satan said, I will exalt my throne. And here is the Pharaoh of Egypt being lifted up with pride. And yet God says, I will deliver him to the hand of the mighty one of the heathen, and he shall surely deal with him. And I have driven him out for his wickedness. So God was to use Nebuchadnezzar, the mighty one of the heathen, to destroy the Pharaoh. And of course, Jeremiah was making a similar prophecy. He was telling those in Jerusalem, now don't trust in the Pharaoh. Don't lean upon Egypt. For Egypt also will be destroyed by Babylon. Egypt will not be a real help. And, of course, they wouldn't listen to Jeremiah, and they finally, of course, went down to Egypt, and there at Tapanes, he took and put these rocks down, and he said, above these rocks, he buried these rocks, he said, above these rocks, Nebuchadnezzar will build his throne and rule in Egypt. And, of course, it was fulfilled. The strangers, the terrible of the nations, have cut him off and have left him upon the mountains and all the valleys. His branches are fallen. His boughs are broken by the rivers of the land, and all the people of the earth are gone down from his shadow and have left him. Upon his ruin shall all the fowls of heaven remain, and all the beasts of the field shall be upon his branches, to the end that none of all of the trees by the waters exalt themselves for their height, neither shoot up their top among the thick boughs, neither their trees stand up in their height. All that drink water, for they are delivered unto death to the nether parts of the earth in the midst of the children of men with them that go down to the pit. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day when he went down to hell, Sheol in the Hebrew, I caused a mourning, I covered the deep for him, I restrained the floods thereof, and the great waters were stayed. And I caused Lebanon to mourn for him, and all of the trees of the field fainted for him. And I made the nations to shake at the sound of his fall when I cast him down to hell with them that descend into the pit. And all the trees of Eden, the choice and the best of Lebanon, all that did drink water shall be comforted in the nether parts of the earth. And they also went down into hell with him unto them that be slain with the sword, and they that were his arm and that dwelt under his shadow in the midst of the heathen. To whom art thou thus like in glory and in greatness among the trees of Eden? Yet shalt thou be brought down with the trees of Eden to the nether parts of the earth. Thou shalt lie in the midst of the uncircumcised with them that be slain by the sword. This is Pharaoh and all his multitude, saith the Lord. So that destruction and being cast down to hell is predicted by God to be the destiny of the Pharaoh of Egypt. Now in chapter 32, because this is his sad destiny, he takes up this lamentation. A lamentation is a wailing or a crying for the Pharaoh. You lament or you wail. And it came to pass in the 12th year, so this was a year later from the previous prophecy, actually a year and 6 months later, 18 months later, it came to pass in the 12th year, in the 12th month, the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and say unto him, Thou art like a young lion of the nations, and thou art as a whale is a poor translation. You are really like a crocodile in the seas, and thou camest forth with thy rivers, and you troubled the waters with thy feet, and you fouled their rivers. A crocodile or a dragon. Thus saith the Lord God, I will therefore spread out my net. You're like a crocodile, you've muddied the waters, you've stirred things up, but I'm going to spread out a net over you with a company of many people, and they shall bring thee up in my net. And then will I leave thee upon the land, and I will cast thee forth on the open field, and will cause all the fowls of heaven to remain upon thee, and I will fill the beasts of the earth with thee. And I will lay thy flesh upon the mountains, and fill the valleys with thy height. And I will also water with thy blood the land wherein you swim. Even the mountains and the rivers shall be full of thee. And when I shall put thee out, I will cover the heaven and make the stars thereof dark. And I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light. Now, as we get into this part of the prophecy, where God speaks of the day when he puts her out, the heavens being covered, the stars dark, the sun will be covered with a cloud and the moon will not give her light, brings into mind the prophecy of Joel concerning the time of the great tribulation, when the sun would be darkened, the moon would be turned to blood, and the stars would not shine. Jesus, of course, quoted this in Matthew 24 as, again, a part of the great tribulation of those days. And we find it recorded also in the book of Revelation, in the cataclysmic judgments that take place in the sixth seal. So it is possible that this prophecy against the Pharaoh is one of those prophecies with a dual fulfillment, that he was talking about what would happen when Nebuchadnezzar conquered him, but also the going out and the judgment against Egypt in the day of the great tribulation. So there is that real possibility of a dual aspect to the fulfillment of this particular prophecy. And it not only spoke of the condition of the Pharaoh then, but as history repeats itself, when the Lord judges the earth, these same conditions do take place in the time of the great tribulation. All the bright lights of heaven will I make dark over thee and set darkness upon thy land, saith the Lord God. I will also vex the hearts of many people when I shall bring your destruction among the nations into the countries which you have not known. Yes, I will make many people amazed at thee, and their kings shall be horribly afraid for thee when I brandish my sword before them, and they shall tremble at every moment. Every man for his own life in the day of thy fall. For thus saith the Lord God, the sword of the king of Babylon shall come upon thee. And by the swords of the mighty will I cause thy multitude to fall, and the terrible of nations, all of them, and they shall spoil the pomp of Egypt, and the multitude thereof shall be destroyed. And I will destroy all the beasts thereof, from beside the great waters, neither shall the foot of man trouble them any more, nor the hoofs of beasts trouble them. Then will I make their waters deep and cause their rivers to run like oil, saith the Lord God, when I shall make the land of Egypt desolate, and the country shall be destitute of that whereof it was full. Then I shall smite all of them that dwell therein. Then shall they know that I am the Lord. And again, in all of these prophecies, the Lord declares, when they are fulfilled, then they shall know that I am the Lord. One of the purposes of prophecy, speaking of things in advance, is to give proof that God indeed has spoken. Jesus said, I have told you these things before they come to pass, so that when they come to pass, you might believe. And so one of the strong apologetics of Scripture is prophecy and the fulfillment of prophecy. And so over and over again, as the prophecies are made, the Lord said, and then shall ye know that I am the Lord. And of course, when we get into Ezekiel, our study next week, as it speaks of Russia's invasion with this massive army from all of her allies, including Libya and Ethiopia and all Iraq, Iran, and all, when they are all defeated in Israel, he said, then shall the nations of the world know that I am God.
We'll continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Ezekiel on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Ezekiel 31 through 32 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord bring you into a special consciousness of His presence, of His love, of His interest in your life. And may you walk in the consciousness of God's grace and be led by His Spirit. May you come into a new relationship with God, a very personal relationship with God. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
It is my great pleasure to present Pastor Chuck's commentary on the book of Acts.
The Acts of the Apostles is an open-ended book. Jesus continues even to the present day to work in the lives of people throughout the world through those who have been empowered by the Holy Spirit.
This book also includes a special foreword written by Pastor John Corson.
We studied the book of Acts, but we never saw the book of Acts. But we were seeing the moving of the Holy Spirit. Calvary Chapel family, may you always be known as a people who pray in Jesus' name, that it would be Jesus Christ, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. May the Jesus movement continue on.
To order a copy of Pastor Chuck's book, The Acts Commentary, please call The Word for Today at 1-800-272-9673 or visit us online to read a sneak preview of the book by visiting thewordfortoday.org.